We're excited to jump right into covering the data points that in our last episode, we talked about what we were looking for this week. That was Germany's GDP figures that came out, China's growth statistics, as well as Taiwan's elections and how they went. They actually happened a day after our last recording. And then obviously the Fed's balance sheet and how that's developed. And then we'll talk obviously about what we expect in the next coming weeks. Also a big topic in Switzerland this week was the WEF that took place in Davos. So maybe we can jump right in with the data points that we were looking at the beginning, at the end of last week.
Yeah, sure. As we mentioned, it's the annual GDP from Germany. It has been lower. It has decreased by 0.3%. And by doing so, it was around the globe, it was the weakest performing economy, like from out of the developed economies. And that's quite disappointing. And even more disappointing is that looking forward, it doesn't look so good, especially when you talk about inflation as well. Inflation has come back around the Eurozone, around Western economies, but there is an uptick expected this year again. And the reason for that is, especially in Germany, a lot of subsidies flow into different parts of the economy. So starting with energy, with sustainable changes or sustainability changes within houses, real estate. So there is something coming because this subsidies will expire or already expired. So one subsidy, for example, was that for electric vehicles. Until last year, you got some extra cash if you change your car into an electric one. And because of some political and budget issues where they were prevented to use a certain fund, which was built during Corona for moving towards sustainability, they had to cut back on subsidies, and this will hit in and will bring inflation back up.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, especially when you look at that and seeing the different sectors in the German economy and how they produced, where the industry sector and manufacturing sectors, you know, took a negative trend in 2023. Mm-hmm. However, car manufacturers did all right in sales. You mentioned, that's going to go away.
Yeah.
So what does the future hold? And it's certainly a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah. And a lot of savings has gone away. I mean, people were able. I mean, that's a topic which is very broadly acknowledged, but people were able to save quite a bit of money during Corona because they didn't have the ability or the possibilities to spend it properly. But we have reached a point where they don't have the spendings or the savings anymore. And so they have to cut back, especially if they were trying to consume products or services that were subsidized and aren't anymore. And on top of that, which came up also recently in the last couple of weeks, is the risks in the Red Sea. Do not forget that. I mean, there are like attacks towards cargo ships, which now have to drive around the South Africa, which takes a longer time, which takes more resources, which makes everything again more expensive.
That's a really big challenge. I mean, the lack of savings is certainly an issue in a lot of the Western world at the moment. Mm. Due to a lot of just spending over the last Corona time, and now it's kind of hitting the bank accounts. So we also talked about, I guess we'll do the elections in Taiwan. We can get that out of the way pretty quickly.
I mean, it has a lot to do also with what is going on in China in general. The election has not been in favor of China, which is unfortunate for their government, but there was no direct reaction. And part of that is probably because of the World Economic Forum, because there was a lot going on, also discussion. Important representatives from China were in Switzerland meeting the consul, the Swiss president, the Swiss federal consul, and so they didn't want to create too much tension before getting into any discussions. Nevertheless, the new president is more leaning towards more independency from China, and we will see what is happening, whether there will be more more rumors or more activity around the island from the Chinese military or not. I mean, it will stay a hotspot this year as well.
Yeah, I think the uncertainty still exists. And despite China posting good GDP numbers for 2023 with, I think it was above 5%, 5.2, 5.4%. Yeah. So beat their expectations at 5%, which is good. However, it's not a total recovery.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of sectors that were in serious trouble as in terms of like construction of new homes was down 20%+. Investments or sale of real estate was also down. Not quite 10%, but, you know, getting up there in the single digits.
I mean, there was a lot of concerns, to be honest, about it. I mean, even the 5.2%, there's quite some doubt how it puts or came into existence, because the data are not always as accessible coming out from China as it is maybe the case with other economies. And so there's some doubt whether it's really this 5.2%. And on top of that, you cannot look at such a number isolated. You also have to look, okay, what is it compared to? I mean, this 5.2% is compared to what or where the economy was a year ago. And a year ago, like 2022, it was fully in lockdown, fully in corona. So obviously there was a growth, whether it was 5.2%, 4.3%, 6%, 7%. It's not as clear. And with this base effect you're having from 2022 to 2023, taking the same from 2023 to 2024, there will be less potential for growth. And we have also seen that investors were pulling back, pulling out money of China from the A-shares, from like the big markets. And the Chinese government, they are concerned about that. There is so much outflow. I think this year already, it's more than 3 billion that flew out of the Chinese market. And they need that money.
You had also mentioned the Fed's balance sheet, that information was coming out this week. Could you give the listeners just a bit of a recap of that?
I mean, the Fed's balance sheet numbers is a much more frequently published or announced number. But it is interesting to see. I mean, pre-pandemic 2019, 2020, the balance sheet was around 4.5 trillion. Depending a little bit on what where you were looking at, what time, but then it went up to 9 trillion, so more or almost doubled, and now we are back at 7.7 trillion, and that's still a huge number, still much, much higher than it was before, and expectations from some economists are that the Fed is done with quantitative tightening by either mid of this year or end of this year. And then on another note, there are some members of the central banks, they are claiming that a healthy balance sheet would be about 10% of US GDP, which would be around roughly 3 billion, I would say. But that's a long way to go. And you also have to keep in mind that the reduction of the balance sheet is also a monetary instrument as the increase of interest rates. Yeah. So what they can do now is they could reduce further the balance sheet and at the same time reduce interest rates, and it will level each other out. So even if the central bank, if the Fed decides to reduce its interest rate, but at the same time continue to reduce its balance sheet, it's a zero outcome.
So WEF took the World Economic Forum. WEF took place in Switzerland this year. Were there any highlights that we could tell our listeners about?
Yeah, sure. There were two or three things. I mean, one thing was for sure that Zelensky, like the president from Ukraine, attended the forum. There were some rumors beforehand, but it wasn't really sure. And what was really interesting about that is like, him stressing that he really wants Switzerland to be in a leading position when it comes to negotiate a peaceful solution to the war going on between Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's really interesting to see, kind of starting to change the narrative on that, obviously, crisis that affected the world, or I guess incursion, you could say, affected the world. Another interesting thing that came out was the IMF discussing their kind of viewpoint of 2024 and how they're maybe a little bit more cautious than some economists are when it comes to growth. And I think that's also quite interesting. And you had mentioned a point about how they view the central banks and how to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, moving away from the political side again, back to the macroeconomic side, the International Monetary Fund is not as confident that the big economies will move towards their 2% target or below again within like the next couple of months or years. So they said, we have to make sure that you stay on top of things, that you don't just claim victory too early, which was a huge mistake already done in the past, in the 80s. And so that shouldn't happen again. And so it will be very interesting to see how seriously this statement is taken from the central banks.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of inflation is what we were talking about at that moment. Yeah. Looking ahead for the week ahead, what data points are you going to be interested in seeing? Is there anything that's valuable that we could highlight for our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, I mean, just saying on this topic, central bank, there are the first central banks coming out with their interest rate decisions, with their evaluation of the economy. So we will see next week at the Bank of Japan, the Bank of Canada, and the European Central Bank already coming up with a decision towards how they move on with their interest rates in Canada and in Europe. I don't expect too much happening. Japan, I mean, there are discussions for a long time already that they finally will come out of the negative interest rate environment, which is crazy to think about in a global environment where like inflation is so high in general and Japan still holds on to the negative interest rates, but also their inflation rate is much lower than in the most other countries or economies. And then also there is a figure which is more interesting when you talk about BRICS, like the BRICS nations, which we have done in the past. There will be the foreign direct investment figures coming out from Brazil. And since Brazil has done pretty well in the last year, I would say, it will be interesting how much inflation is, how much investment is flowing into Brazil, which will, again, give you a picture how much faith investors have into Brazil. And maybe you can even see a readjustment or reallocation away from China into Brazil, because there might be more growth and more stability.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Thanks for this week. We'll end it there and we'll pick up on those data points next week.
Definitely will do so.